What a blessing. What a precious Savior to be able to sing such songs about. You know that song, the second song we sang that talked about, you know, the sky being a more brilliant color of blue and the birds. And, you know, that I'm telling you, when you get saved, I'm telling you, it's like you're seeing everything for the first time. You know, that thing on, you know, William Wilberforce, I guess supposedly when he got saved, he's out there just looking at the grass and looking at spider webs. Just everything's different to him. He's nothing the same again. And you know, that is the truth, brother. Yeah. You get saved, and it's honestly, it's like you see, you can never see anything the same way again. What a glorious and wonderful thing the new birth is. Amen. To know the Lord, to be known of Him. And the song that I am His and He is mine. It's just precious. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Oreb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Father, thank you for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us this morning, Father, into all truth, wisdom, and understanding. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name, and please for his sake. Amen. All right, y'all can be seated. Hey, Luke, could you get me a cup out of there? One of those things. Thanks. All right. Okay, brethren, don't you notice this morning, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren. Okay, so who will raise this prophet up? Who's going to raise this prophet up? The Lord. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it. Jehovah, not Allah. You understand? You see, to the best of my knowledge, the Islamists like to try to make use of this verse and say that that prophet is Muhammad. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. All right? That prophet who the Lord said he would raise up, which we shall find is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that prophet will be raised up by who? Not Allah, which is a false god, a pagan god, the moon god. That prophet will be raised up by the Lord, by Jehovah God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who will raise this prophet up? Again, the Lord. Who will he be raised up unto? Look what it says. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. He will be raised up unto the Hebrews, the Jews. That's who he was raised up to. Now, we all get to partake of that and benefit. But he was raised up unto them first of all. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. That's who he would be raised up to. John chapter 1 and verse 11. John chapter 1 verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who is that? Well, this is the Jewish people. He came unto them first. Jesus himself said, salvation's of the Jews. That's who salvation was first presented to the Jew first, also to the Greek. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. That's who this prophet was to be raised up unto. He was to be raised up unto the Jewish people. Well, where will he come from? Where will he be raised up from? Look what it says. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. So he was unto the Jewish people. He was from them. From the Jewish people. Go to John 1 again. John 1 verse 24. John 1 verse 24.
And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. They're coming to John the Baptist. Look at this, verse 25. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? They knew that there was a prophet promised to Israel that would be raised up unto them, from them. They knew that. And they're wondering, is John the Baptist the one? See, they didn't understand. The Jews, oh, God help them, because their rabbis had led them astray, they did not understand that Messiah, that Christ and that prophet are one and the same. And that also he would be God manifest in the flesh. So some are thinking that John the Baptist, he's neither Elijah, he's Christ, or he's that prophet. Verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, for whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. And by the way, notice John says, he was before me. That statement by John can speak of nothing but the deity of Christ. Because John was physically born before Jesus. So for John to say that he was before me, John cannot be referring to his physical manifestation. He's got to be referring to his deity, that he has eternal existence as God. John sees this. John knows this. The Jewish leadership didn't know that. The rabbis had led them astray. But that's what John's referring to when he says here, he says, he was before me. Well, John was born before the Lord Jesus was. All right. So this has to be referring to, again, the deity of Christ, his eternal existence as God. Verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. So that prophet, they asked John, John, are you the Christ? John, are you alive? John, are you that prophet? No. John was sent to prepare the way for him. That prophet, as we will find, again, as we go further along, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice something about that prophet. Notice that he's no ordinary prophet, as shown by the capitalization. Just as God is no ordinary God with a little g. Just as the Lord is no ordinary Lord with a little L. Just as the Spirit of God is no ordinary Spirit with a little S, so this prophet will be no ordinary prophet. He will not be just a man. He will be God. He will be Messiah. He will be Jesus. Go to Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Again, the Islamists have tried to appropriate that prophet to them and say that he's Muhammad and he's the prophet of Allah. No such thing. No such thing. That prophet was of the Jews, to the Jews. He is none other than Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Acts 3 verse 20. Acts 3 verse 20. The Bible says, and he shall send, Peter's preaching, he says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Look at verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Peter is quoting Deuteronomy 18, where Moses is speaking of that prophet, and Peter is referring to who? Christ. He is referring to the Lord Jesus, thus showing that again, that prophet is none other than Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Acts 7. Acts 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts 7 verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. Stephen's relating things here. He goes right back to it, this promise of that prophet, and it's fulfilled in the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jewish people. Notice in Deuteronomy 18 what else Moses says. He says in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. So this prophet that will be raised up, Moses said, he will be like unto me. He was like unto Moses. Well, how so? How was he like Moses? Well, both of them had attempts on their lives as babes. Pharaoh set out to destroy those children, and there was attempts on the life there. Moses, by God's providence, escaped. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that Herod tried to take out all the children two and under, tried to wipe him out. They both had attempts on their life as babes. Both were chosen to deliver the nation of Israel. Both were willing to die for their people. Christ did. Remember Moses said, slay me. When God was going to bring down his wrath upon the people, Lord, if I found faith in your sight, take me out. Just take me out if you're going to say. Moses was willing to intercede and die for his people. He couldn't, of course, but he was willing to. Like Paul said, he could wish himself accursed for his brethren, for his Israelites, the children of Israel. But he couldn't. God couldn't accept Paul or Moses' sacrifice. But Christ was not only willing, Christ did. Both Moses and Christ had a shine of glory upon them. Remember, Moses goes up there in the mount, spends time with the Lord. He comes back and he's literally glowing. His face shone to where he had to put a veil on so they couldn't look at him. Jesus Christ goes on the Mount of Transfiguration. What happens? He's transfigured before their eyes. His raiment's white as glistering, and his whole countenance is altered. All right? Both performed signs. Moses, Christ. Both were associated with the law. Moses with giving it. Christ with reestablishing and fulfilling it. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Brethren, if you ever hear somebody say, "Say Christ come along with new teachings." No. Well, nothing new. It was a reestablishment of the old, of what God had already given. Listen, the problem was men had moved so far away from the Word of God, Christ was getting people back to what the law had already said. Many things that Christ said you can find already in the Old Testament. He was reestablishing because what had happened was the law of God had been replaced with rabbinical tradition. Jesus said, by your tradition, you make the Word of God of none effect. And he was getting folks back around to the purpose of the law and making it honorable. Again, not that the law could save them, but so the law could be used for its rightful purpose of showing men their condition and their need for a Savior. Amen. Look at Isaiah 42, verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. Look at this. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. That's a very important verse in studying the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that verse helps you to understand so much of the ministry of Jesus Christ. What he was doing was he was magnifying the law and making it honorable because the Jewish leadership, the rabbis, the scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers had twisted things and they were breaking people's back with additions to the law. Christ magnified the law and made it honorable, and then he fulfilled it. He destroyed, he broke down those man-made traditions that had been set up, said, no, here's what God's word says, here's what the law says. He made it honorable, and then he went and in himself fulfilled every jot and tittle of that law. Jesus Christ was the first and only man who met the law, glory to God, on its own terms. Boom. And measured up completely. You see, here comes Moses, the lawgiver. He can't meet it. He fell short. Here comes David. Oh, that great man of God, but oh, he missed it. You know? Here's Samuel. No. Here's King Josiah. No. John the Baptist. No. Man, I mean, everybody on the scene. Even before the law, man had conscience. Here's Abraham. Falls short. Here's Jacob. Falls short. Everybody. Here's Joshua. Falls short. Listen. But all of a sudden comes on the scene somebody, and there's the law. It's taken on all comers. Nobody's measured up yet. But, buddy, there's one come on the scene, and he's approaching, and he ain't staggering, bud, and he ain't stumbling. And he's just approaching the law and says, what have we got here? What is this? I mean, what is this? He met it. He met the law of God on its own terms perfectly, so much so that Christ and the law melded together to become one. Jesus Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. So much so that the Bible now says in Romans 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's all summed up in Jesus Christ. I cannot, could not meet God's demand. Nothing wrong with the law. The problem's me. I couldn't meet it. Christ met it for me. And then, since Christ met the standard of the law perfectly, no sin, met it perfectly, thus His blood can be acceptable, can be an acceptable sacrifice for me. Since He had no sin in Him, the sin was placed on Him, none in Him, thus Christ's blood could be accepted. And now all righteousness is bound up in Jesus Christ. The law, its demand for justice, its holiness, it's all met in Jesus. I receive Christ and I rest in a perfect, complete salvation. The Bible thus says, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Him. If you're saved, what you need to understand is you are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Listen, in my flesh, I'm in a mess. But what I am in Christ is sinless perfection. That's what I have in Him. My salvation is bound up in Him. What the devil tries to do is get you always looking at your flesh and how far short you fall to get you discouraged. It's like, look here, it's like shoving a dog's tail in its face and getting it to chase its tail. That's exactly it. See, look here. Brethren, to keep from getting discouraged, what you need to do is always keep your eye on Christ and say, that's my righteousness. And the devil says, ha! Yeah, you want to count on that because you know how bad you are. Count on it, I will. That's all I have. You plant your feet, you square your shoulders up, and you say, Him. Him. In Christ. You got a problem? Take it up with Him. Now, to keep you from getting arrogant and prideful, the Lord reminds you of your flesh. When you get there, like, you know what? That's right. And the Lord says, whoa, 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 whoa. You've got that in me. Young'un, in you, I'm going to remind you what you are. It don't take much for the Lord to remind us what we are outside of Him. Somebody put it this way, and boy, it's a good way to put it. You know, you get saved and God just flat helps you with a lot of things. He just does. God just delivers you from things. He does some things for you you couldn't have done for yourself. Cleans up your mouth, you know, and helps you. Just all kinds of things, right? But there's some things that every saint seems to struggle with. It's different with every saint, you know, but every saint of God, there seems to be something just they kind of struggle with. Maybe it's a struggle with a temper. Maybe it's a struggle with, I don't know, but it's not that they don't get victory, but a little something they struggle with. So the believer goes to God and says, Lord, I could stroll if you'd get this thing out of my life. Man, I could really stroll with you, Lord. I could take off if you could get this thing out of my life. And think of what we're praying. And Lord says, well, young'un, just remember, every dog's got enough fleas to remind him he's a dog. That's one of the best statements I've ever heard, man. That's the truth. Every dog's got just enough fleas to remind him he's a dog. It's not that God's pleased with that thing, but he leaves it for you to struggle against and remind you that, look, on your own, you got nothing. Our dependency is of him. And it keeps us humbled. It keeps us where we're dependent and necessary on him. And I'll be, might as well face the truth about it. It brings us back to him for fellowship and help. Let's be honest about it, brethren. If we had it all together, we'd take off like a shot and we wouldn't come around much. Oh no, preacher! Well, I don't know. I don't think you know yourself good enough. God leaves some stuff in there. You know what it causes us to do? It causes us to come home. It causes us to pray. It causes us to get close to him. Back in the mountains, they would take sheep and they'd run them on. They let them go on a mountainside. And one time, somebody asked one of the shepherds, the old mountain shepherd kept him sheep, said, well, what causes them to come back? They'll come back for salt. They know they got to have it. They'll come back around for it. Said, if we didn't, if they could get that and everything, they'd never come back around, but they know what they need. Said, they'll come back around when something gets after them. They'll come back around when they need some salt. They'll come back around. You know, the Bible, salt is a picture of grace, and we'll see that in the 5 o'clock. We're going to see things in Luke. But you know something, brethren? Sometimes the Lord allows the enemy to get on our tail, and we can start running back home and gets us home, you know. We got to get some grace. Brethren, let me tell you something. We can kid ourselves, we want to. But God allows some things that we wouldn't, in our life, we wouldn't pray much. Let's don't kid ourselves. We wouldn't read our Bible much. But God allows some things. It drives us, keeps us in that book. It keeps us close to him. It keeps us close. He's wise in those things, that's for sure. That's for sure. Let me tell you something. It's all him. Amen. It's him. Now listen. That's how you keep from getting discouraged. You realize, I'm complete in him. But to keep you humbled, he, in this fleshly body, and some things to contend with. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I got to mention it before we move on. I want you to remember this in the great wisdom of God in saving us, but keeping us in this fleshly body. Isn't it an amazing thing? Jesus Christ fulfills the righteousness of God, dies for us, is buried, rises again. Complete, man. I mean, I rest in a finished salvation. Complete. So here I am, born again, spiritually circumcised, sealed unto the day of redemption, seated in the heavenly places. I mean, as secure in Jesus as can be. But he left me in a body prone to sin. Now, hadn't you as a saved person sometime been like, Lord, why didn't you just take me on home? Hadn't you ever felt like, Lord, all of Christianity and the human race would have probably been better if you'd have just took me home? Have you ever felt like, Lord, my family would have been better if you'd just took me on home? Lord, I think I'm in the way half the time. Lord, I just wish you'd, when you saved me, just took me on home. The Lord says, well, yeah. You're there, son. You're there in me anyway. But listen, if I took you home as soon as you got saved, and if I didn't leave you in a fleshly body, you couldn't get a chance for a reward. And I want you to have a reward. You see, listen, when you get glorified someday with that glorified body, there's no chance for it to get a reward. There's no chance to earn a reward, let me put it that way. Because you're going to be perfect. You're going to have a body that won't sin. You're going to have a body that won't... It'll be perfect. Well, there's no chance for reward. In order for it to have a reward, you've got to have something to struggle against. You've got to have... Because rewards are earned. Salvation is free. Rewards are earned. You've got to have something to struggle against. There's got to be something that you and I are willing to say, sit down, know your place, I ain't giving in to you, I'm going to live for God instead of doing this, I'm going to read my Bible instead of doing that. And you bring the flesh in subjection. And you know what that does? It procures reward. But brethren, if you didn't have the flesh to struggle against, there's no opportunity for reward. So God did an amazing thing when he saved us. He secured us, sealed us by his Spirit. We're born again. We're secure. But left us in a body prone to sin to struggle against. Because look, when you got saved, you were new on the inside, but the same person on the outside was still looking at you. And you know what? You're saved. If you're saved, there's a part of you that wants to live for God, loves God. But there's a part of you that says, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. If you're saved, there's a part of you that says, I need to read my Bible, I want to read my Bible. There's something else that says, no, look up at this on the computer right now and do this. If you're saved, a part of you says, you know what? I need to be at church. I need to be around the brethren. There's another part of you says, no. Go fishing. Got to, you know, go to, I'm serious. And then wrong with fishing. There's not when it's time to be with the brethren. There's, and that struggle. And reward is determined by who are you going to yield to. All right? What you've got to do is pick the flesh up by the nape of the neck and say, sit down. You're going to sit there and you're going to like it. And the flesh says, I'll sit here, but I ain't going to like it. Yeah, just hang around, you will. Hadn't you ever noticed? A lot of times you start out reading your Bible and you know, I know I need to do this. And then the flesh is going, and just squirming and all. After a little bit, that flesh says, okay. And then you're rolling with it. You're rolling with it. You put him in his place. Now, modern day psychology will tell you we're all nuts. We've got split personalities and we're nuts. And Paul had suicidal tendencies and who knows what all they'll tell you. They just don't understand. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible says. Y'all listen. God left you in a body prone to sin to struggle against, with the desire that you would bring this flesh in subjection on a daily basis so that he can reward you on the other side. Your salvation is secure in him. He wants to reward you. He wants you and I to have reward. That's a joy for him. A joy for you and I to receive it from him. A joy to him to give it. But that's dependent upon bringing this flesh in subjection. There's got to be something to struggle against. All right. Take your Bible. Go back to Deuteronomy 18. Look at verse number 15 again. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. So Moses said, when that prophet's raised up, you're going to hearken to him. You're going to listen to him. You're going to listen to him. You know, anyone hoping to be saved had to and still has to hearken to the Lord Jesus. Go to Luke 10. Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 16. Luke 10, verse 16. Jesus said, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Well, we sang about it this morning. I am his and he is mine. Brother, if somebody comes to you in the name of the Lord with the word of God, by the Spirit of God, you better listen up. Better pay attention. Jesus said, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. There's a line of this thing that goes all the way back to the Father. You better be careful. You better make sure if somebody's coming to you in the Word of God, and in the Spirit of God, and in truth, you better listen up. Take your Bible, go to John 18. John 18. I mean, an ambassador acts in the authority of those who sent him. John 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. Pilate answered, therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Look here. There you go. That's the litmus test for a person wanting to know truth. Somebody says, I just want truth so bad I want truth. Are you serious? Yes, I want truth. Well, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. I mean, Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth and the life. Why, you found what you're looking for. I just want truth. I just want... Guess what that person just pegged themselves as? A liar. Anyone wanting truth, if they're sincere, when Jesus Christ is presented to them, they will latch on. Because the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of truth, will bear witness to Christ. See, brethren, that's why you don't have to worry. Sometimes you're like, well, how can you go to some country they never heard and expect to tell about somebody they've never even heard of before and to believe on him? Because the Spirit of God bears witness and testifies to the truth of Jesus Christ. And if someone wants truth, the Holy Ghost will bear witness and they'll be like, that's who I've been looking for. It's happened for 2,000 years all over this world. But if somebody says they want truth and they reject Jesus Christ, count on it. They don't want truth. They're using truth searching as an excuse to never face truth. Because see, if you're always searching for truth, you can always, you're continually in this search. I'm just always looking. Why, you liar. Somebody gives you the gospel and you don't receive it, you're not looking for truth, you're looking for an excuse. You're looking for an excuse. Christ is presented to you. He's truth. You found what you're looking for. If you really want what you say you're looking for. All right. John 8, verse 42. John 8, verse 42. John 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. That's something. Everybody says, well, I love God. What do you think about Jesus? I don't know that now. I don't believe he was the Son of God. He was just a man. He was a good teacher. You don't know God, you don't love God. Yes, I do. No, you don't. According to the Bible, if God were your Father, you would love me. You can't love the Father without loving the Son. You can't love the Son without loving the Father. Jesus said, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Don't you know that made the hackles on the back of their neck stand up, son? If they could have killed him then, they'd have done it. But it wasn't in the plan of God, the Father's will for him to die yet. But son, don't you know if they could have, they'd have done it then? Because he flat called them out. He said, look, you don't receive God's words because you're not of God. You claim to love God. You claim to know God. You don't know nothing about God, and you don't know God. And you don't love him. And how could he say that? Because they refused him whom God sent. They were refusing God in the flesh. Their speech said one thing, their actions said another. And it's the same thing today. But I want you to notice something, and I want you to pay real attention to what we're going to look at next. Go back to Deuteronomy 18. Watch this. You've got to hang with me a minute. Watch what it says. Look at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Okay, and there's a semicolon there, so the thought's not finished. Look how they're going to hearken. Watch, this is very important. This is how they're going to hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Now listen real good. So Moses said, y'all, there's going to come a day the Lord's going to raise a prophet to you. And he ain't going to be no ordinary prophet. It's going to be different. It's going to be Messiah. And you're going to hear him. But you're going to hearken to him according to, and the phrase according to means suitable or in accordance with in the dictionary. You're going to hearken to him in accordance with, agreeable to, according to, all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. What is going on? Listen, Moses is telling them, you're going to hearken to that prophet, which was going to be the Lord Jesus, in accordance with the manner that you spake on the day of the giving of the law. Listen. On the day that the law was given, they spoke out with a desire that they didn't want to hear that voice anymore or see that fire. Why? Because they were frightened to pieces. In fact, God said, well done, well said, you're exactly right. So listen, Moses said, you're going to hearken to this prophet in accordance with, in the same manner as you spoke on that day, when you said, I can't hear this no more. I can't hear this no more. Take away this fire. I can't hear this no more. It scared him to death. Go to Exodus 20. Stay with me. Exodus 20. On the day God gave the law, it scared them to death. And you can imagine. Do you know what God was doing? He was letting them know just a little bit. Just a little bit of how holy and great and magnificent and above all holy that He is. Amen. And the way He did it, when He gave that law, shook them up. Look at Exodus 20, verse 1. Stay with me. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And if thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now look at verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So now, on the day he gave them those commandments, that, listen, can you imagine? Here's this mountain. Boom, right, 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 right. Boom, right, lightning, thunder, and a trumpet. Bum, 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 smoke and fire. And this voice coming out of it. I'd have died. Boom. I'd have lost control of my bodily functions, I really believe. And I'd have just fell out and been like, can you imagine? Can you imagine a mountain smoking? The mountain's smoking. It's on fire. There's God, smoke and a fire and a cloud. Boom, boom, boom. Thunder and lightning and a trumpet sounding. Great day. And like, Moses, Moses, you speak with us. You speak to us. We can't handle that. You get it? Moses, you talk with us. Talk with us, Moses. Not that. We can't handle that. So God said, I'm going to raise a prophet unto you. God said to Moses, I'm going to raise a prophet unto them like you, Moses. And Moses, they're going to hearken to him like they responded in the day I gave the law. Remember the response they gave you, Moses? Moses, you talk to us. Not God, not that holy. We can't handle that. We can't handle this. It's too holy. It's too much. Moses, you talk with us. And the Lord said, they have well spoken all they've spoken. Now listen, listen. They couldn't handle the holiness of God and His law, even when partially revealed. All they got was a little, they didn't see God Himself. They didn't, just a little partial thing there. And neither can we. The Lord told them later on in Deuteronomy, that was a well spoken thing, and indeed it was. And the Lord let them sit under that law for about 1,500 years, and then sent Christ Jesus, that prophet. Listen, Israel basically said, we can't handle this. We can't handle God and His holiness. We can't handle His law. He and His law are too holy and too pure. We're unclean. We'll die. True enough. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. So now this prophet is going to come to them, and they're going to speak. And they're going to deal with this prophet in the manner they did with Moses. Moses, you talk with us. We can't handle this fire and this smoke and this all this. But look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Go to Romans 3. Brethren, Israel couldn't handle it, and neither can you and I. Romans 3. God's too holy, we're too unclean. Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Listen. God and His law were too holy for the people to behold and obey to perfection. See what they said? Moses, you talk to us. Moses, you talk to us. We can't handle this. You talk to us. God is too holy. His commandment too perfect. And we're too unclean. So listen. So 2,000 years ago, God wrapped up His glory and His law in a body of flesh and came down to mankind. You understand? We can't handle this, Moses. You talk to us. Lord, you're too holy. We need. Is there somebody we can talk to? Is there somebody to mediate? Somebody to go between? There is. But it's God Himself, but in a form and in a way that man could receive and come to Him and not be terrified. You understand? Listen. God wrapped up His glory and His law in a body of flesh and came down to mankind. It's as if the Lord was saying, you can't handle my essence and my law. So I'll come to you in a person, but in flesh, and in this person, I will satisfy my own righteous and holy demand. Christ Jesus is the glory and holiness and law of God personified. You and I can't face God and meet His demand because of sin. So think about it. You can't. Look, if you're honest and you admit, I can't meet God. If He's that holy, and He is. If His law is that perfect, and it is. Well, I can't meet Him. Because I have fallen short. I'm sinful. I don't meet that. You're right. You can't. You can't meet God on such a ground as that. Then meet Him in Christ Jesus. Meet Him in Christ Jesus. Meet Him in the one who is fully God, yet left those portals of heaven, wrapped in a body of flesh, felt pain, hunger, all the things you feel, lived the perfect life that His own holiness requires, took your place, died and rose again, and now is the one that can bring you and God the Father together. You can't meet God on His holy ground. You're right. Well spoken, God told Israel. Well spoken. They said, Moses, you talk with us. We can't handle this. Lord said, they spoke well, Moses. They spoke well. And somebody's honest and said, well, if God's holy, I can't meet Him. Well spoken. Well spoken. You're right. Well, what do I do? God's made a way. You couldn't. There's nothing you and I could do to bridge that gap. God, bless the Lord's name. Bless the Lord's name. He bridged that gap Himself, wrapped Himself in flesh, and came. Listen, we can't come to where He is. So He came to where we are. Go to Romans 8. I know you know these things. If you're saved, you know them. But listen, be reminded and blessed by them one more time. And if you're here or listening on recording and you don't know the Lord, listen to what He's done for you. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Amen. And quickly go to Romans 10, verse 4. These words get quoted a lot in soul winning plans, but I'm afraid people don't ever think about them. Romans 10, look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen. God's righteousness is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is that prophet. God's person, God's law, God's words, God's holiness, God's righteousness are bound up in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one with whom we have to do. The question is, what will you do with him? Preacher, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I can't be good enough. I can't keep God's law and demand. I can't do it. Okay? Since you can't do anything, and I'll give you that one, can you receive something? Can you do that one? I can't do it, preacher. I can't. I thought I was halfway decent. But seeing what that book says, and even if I could from this point on, I've done messed up. I mean, even if I could do perfect from now on, I've done messed up. I'm a preacher, I can't do it. And if I could, I've done what I do. I can't do anything. You're right, well spoken. Can you receive something? That's you do anything. Can you receive something? Say, a gift. That's simple enough. That's simple enough. You know, do anything but receive something. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift. A gift. You know the glorious nature of a gift? You don't do a thing other than receive. I mean, the nature of a gift is that somebody thought something of you, no matter what you may have thought of them. That's the key. And somebody purchased something for you. And they take that thing that they purchased. They usually wrap it up in something, you know. And they offer it. Love is the motivating force for it, and usually purchase price is paid and it's offered. What do you do then? I mean, what do you do? Do you pay for it? Well, no, then that would mean it's not a gift. Do you work for it? Well, no, it means it's not a gift. You simply receive it. And you know the Bible says, but as many as received him. But as many as received him. To him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them to believe on his name. God's gift to this world. Well, God so loved the world that he gave. God wrapped up his son in the garb of flesh. A lot of times that's the thing about a gift, you know. There it is, and you don't know quite what it is. You know there's something there, but you don't know what it is till you dig a little deeper and unwrap the thing. God wrapped up his righteousness, his holiness, his law, his dominion, yea, himself, in the garb of flesh and sent him 2,000 years ago. And you know what people did? They just batted it around and debated over it, but few there were that said, well, you think we all ought to look into the matter? You think we ought not to open up and look into the thing and see what's here? And rare there was the one that did. But those that did found God's gift to this whole world in righteousness, in himself, in love, all bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing to do but a gift to be received. The gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do? What will you do? Will you take, if you never have, will you take Christ Jesus and trust him as your righteousness to make you in him what you could never be in yourself? You understand? Would you be willing to receive God's salvation in Jesus Christ, God's righteousness in Jesus Christ, to allow him to make you in him, to make you in him what you could never be and can never be in yourself, which is the righteousness completely and perfectly of God? Look at Deuteronomy 18 one more time, closing up. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. So remember, the Lord said that prophet will be dealt with in the same manner that Israel dealt with Moses on the day of the giving of the law. We can't handle it, Moses. You talk to us. God, you're too holy and I'm too undone. There's got to be some, God, you've got to, I can't come to you this way. God says, well, I want to send some, I've sent somebody to you. A prophet like unto Moses, yea, and more than a prophet. The Son of God, Christ, Messiah, God manifest in the flesh. And he fulfilled, that which you fear, he fulfilled on your behalf. That holy standard that you so fear, he fulfilled. This great God that you fear, he is God in the flesh. And he's taken all that upon himself. And he suffered and he bled and he died and he rose again. Receive him and I'll receive you. Notice they had a fear. But that fear drove them to find somebody to intercede with them. You should have a bona fide, genuine fear of facing Almighty God. And that should drive you to come into Jesus Christ, the one that can make reconciliation and make it to where you can be received and accepted by God. You receive Christ, and God can then receive you. Real quick, he says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And if you read the Gospels, that's all that Christ did. He spoke the Father's will. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. You ever remember Jesus said, the word that I've spoken, the same will judge him at that day. Jesus spoke the Father's will, his Father's words. Well, what does the Lord say for you to do? What's the Lord want you to do? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. The Jews were expected to hearken to that prophet like they did to Moses. Sadly, most didn't. There's going to come a day they're going to turn to him, but most haven't. And so we Gentiles, the gospel came to us Gentiles. But you know what? There was a while there, Gentiles were jumping on, getting on board. But sadly, it seems the Gentiles are doing today what the Jews did then, getting more religion and more religious than true heart salvation. But if you're here or listening on recording, and you've never allowed Jesus Christ to bring you reconciled to God the Father, why not now? Why not today? It's going to take honesty. It's going to take honesty. They were honest. We can't handle this. Moses, you talk to us. God, you're too holy. I can't meet your demand. And then listen, as God says, you're exactly right. Well spoken. But I've met it for you in the person of my son. And if you'll take my son, he is able to give you forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and reconcile you to me. He can bring you to me if you'll let him. Have you? Have you? Have you allowed Jesus Christ to reconcile you to God the Father? Do you know there's come a time in your life that you've allowed Jesus Christ to bring you into a true and real relationship with Almighty God? If you have, then bless His name and thank Him for it once and again. And let this just be a blessing to you today as you think about what He's done and who He is. But if you haven't, you can. He's done His part. It's all about what you'll do with Him. But as many as received Him, you receive Christ, God can receive you. Pilate said, what shall I do? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's the decision every man's got to make. Pilate's wife said, have nothing to do with Him. Well, that won't work. Pilate said, I'm innocent of this. That didn't work. To not make a decision is a decision. I'm going to finish it up. But if the Lord is passing by your way this morning, speaking to your heart, as it were, holding out His hand, if as it were, the Spirit of God is showing you Christ, reaching out His hand to you to bring you in a reconciliation with God the Father, why don't you reach out and take that offered hand of Christ and let Him reconcile you to God? I can't do it, preacher. You're right, you can't. But surely you can receive something. You do it all the time. Why not receive a gift from God? It's amazing. Would be rude to anybody, but would be rude to won't be rude to anybody but God. He offers you His Son. What will you do with Him? Let's pray. Father, Lord, Father, I stand amazed as I look at these passages in Deuteronomy concerning the day that You gave the law and the thunder and the lightning and the smoke and the trumpet. And Israel's great and wise, Lord, the wise fear that they had. And Lord, they desired Moses to speak to them. Lord, they just couldn't deal with You. You were so holy and are so holy. And Lord, You said You were going to raise a prophet unto them, that they would hearken to in a similar manner as they did, Lord, as they dealt with Moses on that day. And Father, I just wonder at this foreshadowing of the ministry of Messiah, of Christ, that we see here given in Deuteronomy. And Lord, it just breaks one's heart to think about how the Jewish leadership led the people astray. Here in Deuteronomy, we see this wonderful foreshadowing of the ministry of Christ, the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that He would, as He would, Lord, take and fulfill Your righteousness. And yet, Lord, the children of Israel had that veil upon their eyes. But yet, Father, here today, how many, Lord, Gentiles allow the same veil to be over their eyes and choose not to see? Oh, Father, I pray, if there's anyone here or listening on recording that has never, Lord, come to You by the merits, atonement, and reconciliation offered in Jesus Christ, that today would be that day. Please, Father, do the work in hearts that only You can do by bearing witness to truth. Work around my fumblings, I pray, Father, and help every saint, dear God, here to appreciate fresh and anew Your mercy and Your goodness and grace. And Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.